Well, we're in 2 Peter chapter 2, looking today at verses 1 through 3. And I want to back up to chapter 1 right at the end as sort of a segue into today's message, because Peter says, "For no prophecy," it's the last verse of chapter 1, "was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." Obviously, he's speaking there of what we call the Old Testament. And the reason that's true is because there wasn't a New Testament. None of those books had been recorded. They had not been, some of them had been written, but they had not been identified as scripture necessarily. Peter was wise to some insight regarding the Apostle Paul, but they couldn't take their Bible off the shelf and turn to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and Acts, and Romans, and so forth. They didn't have that in any way that they could read and experience it. In fact, even what we call the Old Testament was largely transmitted by oral tradition. As they sat in families and they sat around at night and they enjoyed perhaps a campfire and they talked about the scriptures and they went to synagogue and heard the scriptures read from perhaps one of the few scrolls that existed in a community. And so Peter is speaking of days that have gone by. There had not been a word from God for over 400 years until the New Testament began to be recorded in the Acts of, we call it the Acts of the Apostles, but perhaps a better term is the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because they were dependent upon him. And so Peter is talking about, in the past, as we come to chapter 2, false prophets also arose among the people. That bee wants to drink my water. I'm going to cap it in the interest of not drinking the bee. Look at that. Sorry. So in chapter 2, Peter says, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." When he says false prophets arose among the people, he's speaking of that pre-Christian period of time when the Jews were following Moses into the wilderness, when they were under the Davidic kingdom, when they were in the period of exile and return and recovery, that among them there were false prophets. And Peter and Jude mention ones like Balaam and Korah, and Jude even mentions Cain as you go all the way back to Adam and Eve and their sons Cain and Abel. And Cain decided he had a better way to serve God than the way God had given. God had taught them about the sacrificial lamb. And Cain decided that his veggies were better than the lamb. And so rather than doing what he ought to have done, which is purchase a lamb from his brother who was a shepherd, he decided to kill him instead because God found favor with him. And And Jude talks about those who have gone the way of Cain. And so he's taking a view back, and he's talking about the false prophets who led the people astray by deceptive tactics. And then he brings us back to the present, and he says, there will also be among you false teachers who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. In the present time, false teachers will rise up. I mentioned in the introduction, actually I didn't mention it, but I have it in parentheses there in your notes, in the introduction of Matthew chapter 13, that Jesus is telling parables of the kingdom. And in telling these parables, he talks about a farmer who sent his servants out to plant. And they went out and sowed the wheat. And then as the wheat began to come up, lo and behold, tares came up among them, weeds. And they came back and said, Master, what do we do about this? We examine the fields today and there's weeds growing, there's tares growing. Shall we uproot them? And the master says to them, no, don't do that, because if you try to uproot the tares, you know, they didn't sow in nice rows the way we do. They just scattered seed. And he said, if you uproot the tares, you're liable to uproot the wheat. And then the whole crop will be destroyed. He said, wait until it's the time of harvest. And then allow the tares to grow until the time of harvest, and when you harvest the wheat, then you can pull out the tares and you can cast them into the fire for burning. And so Jesus is telling us that among us, the kingdom of God, among us, there will be tares that grow up within the church. In fact, in the last days, the scripture indicates that there will be a great falling away. There will be a great apostasy. Because when people are tested and their metal is evaluated, many people, rather than suffer any kind of persecution or any kind of rejection, they're going to withdraw from the church and only leave the faithful. And Jesus said that's not going to be a lot of people, because when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And that's a rhetorical question. And the answer is not much. And so within every congregation, within every church, within every denomination, there are people who have grown up with a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God and they deny the master, the lordship of God, and instead they go their own direction. And so he says these false teachers will introduce destructive heresies. Now, I've defined heresy for you in a little bit of depth, that it means, using some synonyms, division or opinion or dogma or variance or choices, false opinions about the scriptures. You know, it's Peter who has just told us that no scripture is of private interpretation. And he's not only speaking about the inspiration, but he's also speaking about the understanding of the scripture. Paul says to Timothy, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. you need to give diligent study to it. And again, he's speaking about the Old Testament scriptures. You need to study. You need to make it a part of your life. Now that we have a complete two-volume set, we're encouraged to study and to give attention to the scriptures, not to form our own opinions, but to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in the true understanding of the Word of God. We're not able to come up with our own ideas. And you see that happening all the time today. You see people who take the scriptures and they twist them to mean what they want them to mean, rather than examining the context, the historical setting, the words and the structure of the sentences and all of that, and allowing God to speak to them, comparing scripture with scripture to find the truth. They want to add their own ideas. And opinion is the, I've kind of highlighted it as the key word, false teachers. They're teachers who present opinions, not truth, but opinions. And Peter says they are destructive opinions. The word destructive means to waste, wasted, leading to destruction. They will bring in false ideas and opinions undercover, secretly. In other words, by preaching what seems like a gospel, but teaching the people to believe a lie. And all you have to do is turn on a radio to a Christian station or turn on the television and watch some of these national voices to know that they are presenting what appears to be a message of faith, but in fact it's heretical, expressing their own opinions. And people flock to them. Paul said in the last days, people will seek out for themselves teachers who will tickle their ears, who will say the kind of things they want to hear, who will make them feel good about themselves. There's nothing wrong with feeling good about yourself as long as you're basing your self-image and your self-confidence on the truth of Scripture. But these people will come in with what looks like faith, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. And so, as a consequence, they deny the master who bought them. Listen, this is the bottom line here. These false teachers want to be in charge of their own lives. They want to do what they want to do. They want to follow their own internal leading instead of following Jesus Christ as Lord and Master, guiding them by the Holy Spirit. They want to do as they please. And yet they want to have some sort of a familiarity with religion, if I can use that term loosely. And so they disguise their true motives, which ultimately are to satisfy themselves. Listen, you can only have one Lord. You can't have two. One is going to be Lord and the second one is going to be second. And Jesus said the first commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's everything you've got. That you need to be committed to the Lord with everything you've got. And the second one is similar, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he's not, some psychologists want to take that and twist it around and say, see, the Bible's endorsing self-love. Friends, for the most part, we've got plenty of self-love. What he's saying is, if you want to do well, if you want to be prosperous, if you want to be somewhat cared for in this world, make sure your neighbor has that same quality of life. Love your neighbor the way you love yourself. Care for your neighbor the way you want to be cared for. The golden rule is perhaps one of the most misquoted and misunderstood passages of Scripture. Do unto others as you would have them do for you is the way it's often quoted. But what it really means is do for others what you want done for you. It's not passive, it's active. You take action. You go and do for others what you would like to have done for you, whether it's ever done for you or not. And so they deny the master that bought them because they want to be the master that's in control of their lives. And so the main goal of Peter's teaching here moves into verse 2. Many will follow their, that is, the false teachers, many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. Now, we often think of sensuality as being sexual in nature. We want to put a sexual twist to the concept. But it really isn't. That's only one component of sensuality. Sensuality means pleasing to the senses, feeling good about whatever it is you want to feel good about. And when you take that apart and begin to look at that in detail, licentiousness is a part of sensuality, and that means lawlessness. Doing what you want to do, regardless of what the law says. Doing what you want to do. Wantonness is another synonym component of sensuality, and it's mercilessness, inhumanity, malicious, unduly lavish or extravagant, lustful, sensual, playfully mean or cruel, mischievous, and undisciplined. Peter says, or Paul says to Timothy in the last days, I'm going to turn to that and read that because it's so significant. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, Paul says to Timothy, realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self. You see what I'm saying? Most people have plenty of self-love. That's not their problem. We can talk about self-image and helping a person get the right self-image, and that's important. But most people really focus on themselves. And so they will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but they deny its power. You read that list of things and you think, well, those are not very godly people. Yeah, they're sitting in the chairs in church, in the parking lot. Got to make that relevant. They're sitting in seats in the auditorium. They're attending church. They're acting like they're a true believer, but they have all of these things going on inside of them. And he says, avoid such as these. Avoid them. Watch out for them. Pay attention. See how they live. You will know a tree by the fruit that it bears. And so there is this attitude among false teachers that encourages a desire to please oneself, whatever that means. It's not just sexual immorality. It's all kinds of things that satisfy the fleshly nature, the sensuous nature of human beings in an ungodly way. And let me say that, because you don't have to live like a monk and sit on top of a tower for days on end to be holy. Jesus walked among people. He ate with sinners and publicans. I think you'd find him in the local bars, never compromising his integrity, but always there for the person who had need. Living a holy life that emanated from within him to outside of him. And sinners were drawn to him. It was the highfalutin church people that got upset with him. It was sinners that were attracted to this man of purity and integrity because his life reflected the glory of God. And so, as a consequence, many will follow their ways, going back to, let me get back to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from you long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. Think about it today. Think about how many spiritual leaders, quote unquote, have made public disgrace of their ministry and of their Lord because of their behavior. And they have lived lives. Well, Peter says their destruction will come suddenly without warning. And think about the fact that they went along for years and years deceiving their people. And then all of a sudden, something surfaced and they were found out, and they're no longer in their ministry. They're no longer proclaiming the good news. They have maligned the very gospel that they claim to believe because they've lived for themselves and they've followed their own desires. Friends, there is a risk that we have if we are not willing to commit ourselves to the Lord on a daily basis. There's a risk that we have that we will ultimately bring disrepute upon the name of Christ, but also upon the church. and that we will malign the truth and cause it to be ridiculed. How many people reject the good news of Jesus Christ because they say, you know what I'm going to say. You've heard it. You may even have said it at some time in your life. All those hypocrites in the church, well, they're tares. They're growing among the wheat. They're not faithful, genuine followers. And yet they cause people to stumble. And think about the leaders that have maligned the name, and they have caused people to stumble and to fall and to reject the message because of the lack of integrity in the messenger. The motivation, Peter says, of the false teachers, verse 3, is greed. And they want to use the gospel and the church as a measure of gaining wealth to satisfy their own sensuality. Paul says, some even preach Christ from strife and envy in hopes of making my situation worse. They have an ill motive, an improper motive, and it brings damage to the name of Christ. Rowena and I have been talking lately, and somehow or another the topic has come up. I'm not sure it has, but it's how differently people live at home than they live at church. You know, you don't have us fooled. Some people live like rascals at home, and then they come to church and they look so holy, and yet their lives do not reflect integrity and godliness consistently. We ought to be at home what we are at church. There's nothing sacred about this asphalt other than the fact that God owns it. There's nothing special about the chairs in the auditorium. It doesn't make you holy to be here. It simply gives you teaching and training and instruction so that it will affect all of your life in every aspect, and that you will reflect the glory of God in how you live. Don't follow the false teachers. I'm tempted to name names, but I'm going to leave that off. This will go out on the internet, and I'll spare the church a lawsuit. But you don't have to look far. You can figure it out. They're all across the land. And we need to be wise, and we need to be discerning, and we need to understand. Have you ever had the experience of meeting someone for the first time and instantly knowing there was a problem? Or hearing someone for the first time and knowing they were just one step away from heresy? It doesn't take much. And so I encourage you, pay attention, look out for the false teachers, and be prepared to be people of integrity who are the same and consistent yesterday, today, and tomorrow, just like your Lord. I ask it for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Speak to our hearts. Open our minds as we continue to explore the nature of the deception that exists even within the church and how it affects the lives of people as they secretly deceive with a form of godliness that has no power. Lord, let us be a different kind of people, a people who love you and who follow you and who obey you in all respects. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.